Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Sally Elcordi, and there are many bills right now all over America in regard to vaccines and related issues. And there's a particularly disturbing one here in New York, which I saw quite a while ago. It wasn't moving, but now it's in the Health Committee, and we absolutely must pay attention to this. I would like you to listen to this woman who is assessing what this bill is, and I will put a link in the comments area to the actual bill itself. But I think she does an excellent job, and it is it has been expanded. It's bigger than it was. It's more inclusive than it was. And you will be completely astonished at what it includes. I don't know how many ways this violates the Constitution, but it does many, many ways. Okay, hold on. I'm afraid they're going to take this woman down, and she's got a lot to say, and it's really worth listening to.
And COVID. It sounds going to be stupid to me this morning, so hopefully this stays going. I'm going to show you the legislation that New York is passing. It's going to show you how the state is putting in place, and there are many states doing this, but since I'm in New York, I'm just going to show you the state, what the state is doing and has been doing. And this is how they're legally going to take your children from you. They're actually going to use this to take you out of your home, too, during permanent second lockdown that's coming. This is how they're going to remove people. You know, we'll keep talking about these camps they're going to take you to. They're going to use these outbreaks, these positive tests, how they've been conditioning all of you to go get tested. Even if you don't have symptoms, go get tested, track and trace everybody. If you've been exposed, you keep hearing about these fake exposures, even though the Department of Health never lines up with these fake exposures. They're conditioning you to get used to this. And during the second lockdown, they're going to be removing your children from you in these public schools. This is why we're screaming at the top of our lungs to keep your children home, keep your children close to you. So I'm going to show you in New York State, and this is true in the other states too. You can look this up. But since I'm in New York State, I'm going to show you New York State. They've been putting these legislations, these bills in place, and they're passing them under your noses to be able to remove you from your home with suspicion of this fake virus. Now, this virus doesn't even exist. The PCR testing that they're doing when they do this test on you doesn't isolate any COVID-19 because there is no such thing as COVID-19. Everyone that's died from complications from flu, pneumonia, or other illnesses. They've forged these death certificates, but the test itself doesn't isolate anything called COVID-19. There is nothing that can isolate a COVID-19. This has been fakery since the beginning, and they even tell you this on the CDC. So not only is it fakery, but they tell you it. But I'm going to turn this around, and I'm going to show you what they're putting in place, just so you know. So make sure you share this out to people. So I have right here New York Senate.gov legislation bills. We're going to click on that. So you'll see the assembly bill, the New York State Senate. Let me clear out my COVID so I can talk. You see, there's the web address for people who don't want to think it's fake or not. It's a government site. And I've told you a million times, you cannot buy a domain that's a .gov. Somebody just said it's happening in New Zealand already, as I'm sure you know. Waiting for news of the same thing to be ruled out in the UK. So there you go, guys. In the comments, someone said it's already happening in New Zealand. You cannot buy a .gov domain unless you can prove to the people selling the domains that you work for the government. So if it's a .gov domain, this is an actual government site. So this is New York State Senate site. And here is their Assembly Bill A99. And I'm going to read it to you. The reason I'm not just posting the link, which I will put the link in the video description after, I don't put it in the link while I'm doing the video because they will hide the video because of their algorithms and you won't be able to be notified that I'm doing the video. And the reason I don't share just the link is because of Facebook algorithms. They won't let as many people see my post. So it's easier for me to live stream these and read it to you. That way you'll be aware. And because of the predictive programming and all of the things that they've done to us over the years, people's attention spans are next to nothing. So people won't click on links and won't read things, but there's more chance of people listening to me read something. So good morning. So please hit share on this. So here's the New York State Senate website. NewYorkStateSenate.gov. Here's one of the bills that's coming through here for you, how they're going to remove your children from your care. This is how they're going to remove you from your home, how they're legally going to do it. And if you want this stuff to stop, like I said yesterday and like I've been screaming over and over, you need to fully stop complying with everything. This means never wear a face mask ever, never socially distance ever. Don't put your children in the public school systems. Anything the government is telling you to do right now, do not do. This is how we stop all of this. But if you play along with it, you keep playing along and complying, this all stuff all comes to pass. So anyway, let me read this. Assembly Bill A99 relates to the removal of cases, contacts, and carriers of communicable diseases who are potentially dangerous to the public health. So let's go down. It's in the assembly right now, it says. So the assembly has this bill with them currently. This relates, let me move this so you can see the whole thing while I'm reading it. Camera angle is crackola here, sorry. Relates to the removal of cases, contacts, and carriers of communicable diseases that are potentially dangerous to the public health. That's the summary. And here's the bill text, which you probably won't be able to read because it's tiny, but I will read it to you anyway. Somebody says this. I can't hit read all. Introduction by A. Perry. Read once and referred to the Committee of Health. An act to amend the public health law in relation to the removal of cases, contacts, and carriers of communicable diseases who are potentially dangerous to the public health. The people of the state of New York represented in Senate and Assembly do enact as follows. Section 1, the public health law is amended by adding a new section, 2120, to read as follows. 2120A, removal and detention, they're going to detain you, of cases, contacts, and carriers who are or may be a danger. You either are or may be a danger. So it doesn't even have to be that you are a danger. Listen closely to the words. To public health, other orders. Number one, the provisions of this section shall be utilized in the event that the governor declares a state of health emergency. Get ready for the second lockdown. Due to an epidemic or any communicable disease, of any communicable disease. So there you go, the fake pandemic. That's what they're talking about here. Number two, upon determining by clear and convincing evidence that the health of others is or may be endangered by a case, contact or carrier, or suspected case. So just a suspected case is enough for them. Contact or carrier or a contagious disease that, and they're calling this so contagious that you got to stay 6 feet apart and have a mask on, in the opinion of the governor, so no facts here, just his opinion, after consultation with the commissioner, may pose an imminent and significant threat to the public health, just one case, resulting in severe morbidity or high mortality, the governor or his or her delegee, including but not limited to the commissioner or the heads of local health departments, may order the removal and or detention of such a person or of a group of such persons by issuing a single order, identifying such persons either by name or by reasonably specific description of the individuals or groups being detained. I hope you're listening to this. So if they just have any suspicion whatsoever, they're saying that you might be contagious, they can, with just their opinion, remove and detain you. This is how they're going to remove these kids and detain them away from you out of the schools. I hope you're paying attention to this. Such person or group of persons shall be detained in a medical facility or other appropriate facility or premises designated by the governor or his or her delegee complying with subdivision 5 of this section. So it doesn't have to be in one of their medical facilities. This is any little detention center that they decide. I hope you're paying attention to this. This is a New York State Senate legislation bill. So keep saying conspiracy theory. This is in front of your face. A person or group removed or detained by order of the governor or his or her delegee pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section shall be, oh, there's 166 more lines, detained for such period and in such manner as the department may direct in accordance with this section. That means they can detain you as long as they so choose. That's what that means. That means if they, so far, let's summarize, so far, just one person that they even suspect may be contagious of this, they can remove you and detain you in some center that they've delegated for as long as they so choose. That's the summary so far. Notwithstanding any inconsistent provision of this section, a confirmed case, which means with their mandatory test, I'll put the link up afterwards, or a carrier who is detained pursuant to subdivision 2, which means they already stole you, or this section shall not continue to be detained after the department determines that such a person is no longer contagious. So whenever they determine to release you, that's when they would release you. They're going to keep you as long as they choose. That's what they're saying. A suspected case or suspected carrier who is detained pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section shall not continue to be detained after the department determines with the exercise of due diligence that such person is not infected with or has been exposed to such a disease, or if the infected with or exposed to such a disease no longer is or will become contagious. So they added that in so they can keep you permanently if they choose, or will become contagious. So they're going to say that there's this outbreak and there's a potential for you to still become contagious, and that is how they're going to keep you detained. Notice that they said you, if there's still a risk of you becoming contagious, that's why they added that line in, so that they can keep you detained. When you read these thoroughly as though you're an attorney. A person who is detained pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section as a contact or a confirmed case or a carrier shall not continue to be detained after the department determines that the person is not infected with the disease or that such a contact no longer presents a potential danger to the health of others. A person who is detained pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section as a contact or a suspected case shall not continue to be detained, one, after the department determines with the exercise of due diligence that the suspected case was not infected with such a disease or was not contagious at the time the contact was exposed to such individuals, or after the department determines that the contact no longer presents a potential danger to the health of others. A person who is detained pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section as is appropriate to the circumstances. A, have his or her medical conditions and needs assessed and addressed on a regular basis to continue with the tracking. You're going to be continually tracked, so somehow they're going to tag you to track you. Be detained in a manner that is consistent with recognized isolation and infection control principles in order to minimize the likelihood of transmission of infection to such persons and others. That's where they're talking about removing and detaining you in these isolation centers. And they already talked about the isolation rooms in the schools. That's where they're going to hold you until they remove you from the school. That's what this law is. When a person or group is ordered to be detained pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section for a period not exceeding 3 business days, such person or member of such group shall, upon request, be afforded an opportunity to be heard. Oh, look at that. They're going to let you speak? Isn't that nice? If a person or group detained pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section needs to be detained beyond 3 business days, they got to sneak this in here so that you know that you're going to be kept beyond 3 business days, they shall be provided with additional commissioner's order pursuant to subdivision 2 and 8 of this section. So they're going to put an additional order in so that they can keep you beyond the 3 days. When a person or group is ordered to be detained pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section for a period exceeding 3 business days, and such person or member of such group requests release, oh, so they're keeping you longer and now you're begging to get out, the governor or his or her delegate shall make an application for a court order authorizing such detention. So they're going to get a court order to keep you within 3 business days after such request by the end of the first business day following such Saturday, Sunday, or legal holiday, which application shall include a request for an expedited hearing. I hope you're reading this. I hope you're paying close attention. After any such request for release, detention shall not continue for more than 5 business days in the absence of a court order authorizing detention. Notwithstanding the foregoing provisions, in no event shall any person be detained for more than 60 days without a court order. So they're saying that they're going to get the court order within the 60 days. So they'll hold you, they're going to hold you for 60 days before you get the court date authorizing such detention. For a suspicion of the fake virus. Remember in the beginning we read that they're going to do this even with just suspicion that you're a threat? Are you hearing this? They're going to hold you for up to 60 days, then get a court date to get court orders to hold you permanently to say that you're a threat with a suspicion of this virus. The governor or his or her delegate shall seek further court review of such detention within 90 days following the initial court order authorizing detention, and thereafter within 90 days of each subsequent court review. So they're going to, every 90 days, get a court review to keep you in detention because you are a threat to society. Are you listening to this? In any court proceeding to enforce an order of the governor or his or her delegate for the removal or detention of a person or group issued pursuant to this subdivision or for review of the continued detention of a person or group. They just said they would get the court order reviewed every 90 days. How long do you think you need to be detained for a threat of a virus that doesn't exist? That in their fake narrative, they're saying has a 99% survival rate, even if you believe the fake narrative. The governor or his or her delegate shall prove the particularized circumstances constituting the necessity for such detention by clear and convincing evidence. So they're going to give clear and convincing evidence why every 90 days you have to stay in this detention center. A copy of any detention order of the governor or his or her delegate issued pursuant to subdivision 2, and what they're actually talking about is your children, by the way, of this section shall be given to each detained individual. So they're going to every 90 days give you proof of why they're keeping you detained. However, if the order applies to a group of individuals, which is all your children that they're taking out of the schools, and it is impractical to provide you individual copies, so they're going to give just one copy to all of those people in the detention center, it may be posted in a conspicuous place. So the kids get to have one copy stuck up in the detention center, in the detention premises. They're not calling it detention center, detention premises, my bad, I used the wrong term. Oops. FEMA camp is now referred to as detention premises. Whoopsie. Let's all refer to FEMA camps as detention premises from now on. My bad. Any detention order of the commissioner issued pursuant to subdivision 2 of this section shall set forth the purpose of the detention and the legal authority under which the order is issued, including the particular sections of this article of such law or regulation. A description of the circumstances and or the behavior of the detained person or group constituting the basis for the issuance of this order, the less restrictive alternatives that they're not going to effing take anyway, that were attempted and were unsuccessful. So they're going to list them out anyway, even though they're not going to. Here's all the shit we didn't do when we stole you out of the school and put you in this detention center, which is, you know, and the reason such alternatives were rejected. Well, because we're stealing you for these sex rings. This is stupid. A notice advising the person or group being detained that they have a right to request release. It's going to be denied. We just read that. And including instructions on how to request such to be made. A notice advising the person or group being detained that they have a right to be represented by legal counsel. They're saying they're going to detain. At one breath, they say you're going to be detained for 3 days and you have a right to request legal counsel. And then they're saying every 90 days you're going to review it with the court order. You see the double talk here? They're keeping you permanently. And that upon request of such person or group's access to counsel will be facilitated to the extent feasible under the circumstances. So if we see it's feasible, you can have a lawyer. If not, tough shit for you. You people, if you're still wearing a mask and complying with this shit and allowing this shit to happen, you're out of your mind. A notice advising the person or group being detained that they may supply their addresses or telephone number of friends and or relatives to receive notification of the person's detention Oh, they might let you notify your family that you've been put in this detention center and that the department shall, at the detained person's request and to the extent feasible, provide notice to a reasonable number of such people that the person is being detained. Oh, isn't that kind of them? They might let your friends know that they put you in a detention center. In addition, an order issued pursuant to subdivisions 2 and 7 of this section requiring the detention of a person or group for a period exceeding 3 business days, which they already said they're going to do, with court order, shall advise the person or group being detained that the detention shall not continue for more than 5 business days, even though they already admitted that it's going to, after a request for release has been made in the absence of a court order authorizing such detention. Advise the person or group being detained that whether or not they request for detention, the governor or his or her delegee must obtain a court order. Here, now they're going into that again, that they're going to get a court order and keep you even longer. They're going to just keep repeating it. Authorizing detention within 60 days. There you go. Now they're just rubbing it in that they're going to keep you following the commencement of detention, and thereafter must further seek court review of the detention within 90 days of such court order and within 90 days of each subsequent court review. So they can say the 3 days and they can say the 5 days, but then they admit that they're going to keep you permanently and review it with a court order every 90 days. Well, there you go. Advise the person or group being detained that they have the right to request legal counsel be provided, because you're going to need a lawyer because they're keeping you permanently and reviewing it every 90 days with a court order. That upon such request, counsel shall be provided if and to the extent possible under the circumstances, meaning you might get a lawyer, you might not. And that if counsel is so provided, if it's provided, that such counsel will be notified that the person or group has requested legal representation. A person who is detained in a medical facility or other appropriate facility shall not conduct him or herself in a disorderly kind. Oh, don't conduct yourself in a disorderly manner. Here we go. You shall not conduct yourself in a disorderly manner and shall not leave or attempt to leave such facility or premises until you're discharged. Oh, are you listening? They're going to have armed guards there. Where necessary and feasible under the circumstances, language interpreters and persons skilled in communication with vision and hearing impaired individuals shall be provided. Oh, that's nice of them. The provisions of this section shall not apply to the issuance of orders pursuant to 11.21 of the New York City Health Code. In addition to the removal of detention orders referred to in subdivision 2 of this section and without affecting or limiting any other authority that the commissioner may otherwise have, the governor or his or her delegee may, in his or her discretion, meaning they can do whatever the hell they want, issue and seek enforcement of any other orders that he or she determines are necessary or appropriate to prevent dissemination or transmission of communicable disease or other illnesses that may pose a threat to public health, including but not limited to orders requiring any person or persons who are not in the custody of the department to be excluded, to remain isolated or quarantined at home or at the premise of such person's choice that is acceptable to the department, and under such conditions and for such a period as will prevent transmission of the contagious disease or other illnesses. They're pretty much saying they have a right to do whatever the fuck they want, to require the testing, mandatory testing. They're squeezing it all under one law. Pay attention to this. They're taking everything and putting it into one law. They're putting the mandatory testing, they're putting the steal you out of your home, steal the kids out of school, all in one law, to require the testing or medical examination of persons who may have been exposed. So if you may have been exposed, they're going to force test you, or infected by a contagious disease, or who may have been exposed to a contaminated with dangerous amount of radioactive materials. There's your 5G. They're admitting to 5G. Why the fuck would you put radioactive materials into the COVID thing? Well, honey. All right, I'll get you more in a second. Or toxic chemicals to require an individual who has been, has been exposed to an infected or contagious disease or complete, they just admitted to 5G. You saw that too, right? appropriate prescribed course of treatment. So they're going to force you whatever medication they want to give you, which is that HCQ, which activates the 5G in you and activates the vaccine, if you haven't paid attention to that. Preventative medication or vaccination, they're going to force the vaccination. They just put that in this law, forced HCG or HCQ, which activates the vaccination, forced vaccination, forced isolation, forced removal of your home from your home, admitting to 5G, all in this law, including directly observed therapy to treat the disease and following infection control provisions. So they're going to monitor that all this shit works. Or to require an individual who has been contaminated with dangerous amounts of radioactive materials or toxic chemicals, such that said individual may present a danger to others. So you've been exposed to too much 5G, so you're a dangerous threat to others. So if you've been around 5G, they're going to steal you out of your home. You know, the 5G that they put in your schools, that's another reason to steal your kids. Are you even reading this? To undergo decontamination procedures deemed necessary by the department. I wonder how they're going to decontaminate you from the 5G that they contaminated you with. Are you paying attention? Such person or person shall, upon request, they're going to use 5G as an excuse to steal you out of your home. So everyone thinks 5G had just one purpose. No, they're going to use it as an excuse to steal you out of your home. That, boy, there's Satan sure is a sneaky little wily bastard, isn't he? So they're going to use 5G also as an excuse to steal you out of your home and decontaminate you from it. Decontaminate you from it. This is a new public health law that New York State's sneaking in, and I would guarantee every state has one of these. Such a person or person shall, upon request, be afforded an opportunity to be heard. I love how they keep saying that. But the provisions of subdivision 2 through 11 of this section shall not otherwise apply. The provisions of this section shall not be construed to permit or require the forcible administration of any medication without a prior court order. So they're just going to keep getting these court orders to force all this shit on you. This act shall take effect on the 13th day after it shall have become a law. It's going to be a law, guys. Effective immediately, the additional amendment and or repeal of any rule or regulation necessary for the implementation of this act on its effective date are authorized to be made and completed on or before such date. If you wanted to see which law it was, we'll go back up and I'll show you. This is State of New York. The name of the law, go all the way up. Assembly Bill 99, related to the removal of cases, contacts, and carriers of communicable diseases who are potentially dangerous to the public health. They are trying to amend the public health law. So there you go. Just thought I'd share so that those of you that are thinking of putting your kids in the public school that still haven't thought about taking your kids out and doing homeschool, feel free to get my inbox so I can teach you and show you how you can get them homeschooled, because you need to keep your children as close to you as possible. And if you want this stuff to stop, you need to 100% stop complying with everything they tell you to do. The only way we stop all of this is if all of us stop complying with everything. Then this stops. But as long as anyone complies with anything, you are giving consent to it. Your compliance is consent to what they're doing. This whole, if we wear masks, it'll go away. There is no virus. There never was a pandemic. There is none of that. You have to start admitting that this stuff is true, that there are no conspiracy theorists, that there are people telling you the truth, and your compliance is consent to it. That's it. You have to start looking at reality, and you have to stop complying. Your compliance is what is ushering this in and is going to kill us all. You have to stop complying. That's all there is to it. Or you can get ready for them to pick and choose which one of us get to live, which one of us get to die, and that's the end of it. That's it. Your cowardice is going to lead to death of many. Or you can stand up for what's right and stop complying. Those are your choices, but make sure you share this so people can see. If you're interested in how to homeschool, don't believe their lies. It's so simple, so easy. Get in my inbox. I'll get you going today. Share this with everyone.
Hi, everybody. I don't have that woman's name. I found this interview on Take the Red Pill. It's posted September 26th at 9:25 a.m., on Take the Red Pill, which is a Facebook group. And boy, did she deliver, huh? I don't have her name. I wish I did. If I find it out, I'll put that information in the comments area as well underneath the screen of the radio show. You're listening to Public Advocate Radio. My name is Sally L. Cordy, and I'm going to play for you now a very important, I just updated my blog. I would check it out. It's called tinyurl.com/beatingadults. That's right, beating adults, because that's what it's come to. I don't know if you saw the protest against mandated vaccines and against the lockdown and against all the things associated with the lockdown, like the masks, the testing, which I have been told is the vaccine. Somebody just sent me a meme. I will put it on the screen of this radio show so you can see for yourself. And I want to thank Janice Hicks for sending it. She gives me so much really important information. But I want to play for you now from my blog, tinyurl.com/beatingadults. I want to play for you. Just give me a second, okay? A priest. I have spoken with priests. They have not taken me seriously as the legislators and, you know, the media. Everybody's on the same page when it comes to denying the reality of vaccine truths. And we are not anti-vaxxers. We are vaccine aware. And once you are aware, it is really your responsibility. You are derelict of duty if you do not do something. So I do encourage you to watch, go and read tinyurl.com/beatingadults, because it'll lay it out all out for you. But this one video, I'm afraid, like the one I just played for you, will disappear. And I don't want it to disappear, because priests who are speaking out about this are all of one. I have only found one Catholic priest who is talking the truth. And he actually says it's his responsibility to speak the truth, yet he is the only one doing it. So there you go. Give me a second while I get it, okay? Thank you. Where is that? Let's find it. I will. Okay, I'm tinyurl.com/beatingadults. And that will bring me to the priest who I'm going to play for you now, because I'm expecting his video also to disappear. And I have been like batting 1,000. Everything I think is going to disappear always does. So here we go. Father Robert Altier. Father Robert Altier, September 5th, 2020. Called The Coronavirus, The Truth Revealed.
The first reading today, God tells the prophet Ezekiel that he has appointed Ezekiel as the watchman for the house of Israel. And therefore, Ezekiel is to speak to the people whatever it is that God commands him to speak. Not exactly an easy task that is given to Ezekiel. Because as he is told, I tell you to tell this person whatever, and you don't tell them, and they die that way, I'm going to hold you responsible for their death. You tell them, and they die, they don't repent, well, you're not responsible. The prophets had to speak the word of God. We think of prophets as being somebody who predict the future. That's about that much of what a prophet is about. If you look over and over again at what the prophets say, they will preface it with, thus says the Lord. It may be calling people to repentance. It may be calling people to change things. It may be telling the people that something wonderful is going to happen. Whatever it is, they have to speak the truth. Because God is truth. You and I are also prophets. Jesus is a priest, a prophet, and a king. And you and I are baptized into Jesus. So we're a priest, prophet, and king. That doesn't mean that you necessarily have to get up and start preaching to people. But I do. I have an obligation to stand here and speak the truth, even when people don't like to hear it. So here we go. We have been lied to. We have been lied to in a huge way. So let's get the facts. What I'm going to do is rehearse a number of things that you probably already know in order to get to the point of where we need to go. First of all, since last winter, we've had this virus running around. It is a real virus. It is a man-made virus. The work had begun in a laboratory in North Carolina, and they shipped it to China to finish the work. And it was released so that people would get sick. All this is being done on purpose. Now, in case you're not sure about that, and again, everything that I'm going to say today, please don't take my word for it. Look it up. Do the work. Look it up. I have no desire to lie to you. I have no desire to try to blow smoke over your head. I want to tell you the truth, because that's what God is going to hold me responsible for. So there was something last October. It was called Event 201. Event 201 was a United Nations, along with a number of multinational corporations, that got together and had a simulation of an international coronavirus pandemic. Imagine that. You'd think that they knew it was coming or something. But anyway, you can look it all up. They've got all their deliberations up there. One of the things that they said that they wanted to do was what they called flood the zone. And that's their words, not mine. Flood the zone meant we want to get the message out that we want people to hear, and we do not want anything else being heard. They have succeeded in doing that, because every doctor, every scientist, every whoever gets up and says something different than the narrative has been taken off of Facebook, taken off of YouTube, taken down from every place else. Remember, we have freedom of speech. Well, unless it goes against the narrative. So they had an agenda. They don't even try to hide it. It says right there, Event 201. You can look it up. And amazingly, this has gone exactly the way that they said it was going to go. So there's more to come. It's all there, but we're not going to get into that today. Then as time went along, they said we needed to lock everything down. Remember that was to flatten the curve so that the hospitals weren't overwhelmed. No hospital was overwhelmed. In fact, there was hardly anybody in most of the hospitals. Yeah, there was the one hospital out in New York City that you saw, and that's because they took every single person who might have had the coronavirus in New York City and brought them to the same hospital. Think of all the millions of people, they all came to the same place, and that place was crowded. No place else was. And remember, that was supposed to be for 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And then they kept coming up with new scenarios as to why we need to keep it going. And then they told us we need to have masks on and we need to stay 6 feet apart. And remember, it's the exact same doctors who in March said, do not wear a mask. They're not good for you. And then all of a sudden, they're the ones saying you need to put a mask on. Now people are going to the hospital because of bacterial infections from what they're breathing in from the mask. And the dentists are actually saying, stop wearing the mask because it's messing up your gums and your teeth. I didn't even know such a thing was possible. But we have been treated to what may be the most impressive virus in the history of the world, because this virus knew somehow that if there were 10 people or fewer, that nobody would get infected by it. If it was 11 or more, people were going to get sick. But it knew more than that. It knew that if it was at a large corporate place, you wouldn't get sick. But if it was at a small business, everybody was going to get sick. So we need to get rid of small businesses, but keep the large corporate places open. Somehow or another, it knew that if it was at a funeral, you couldn't have more than 10 people or everybody would get sick, unless that funeral happened to be politically and emotionally charged, then 30,000 people can be there shoulder to shoulder, and that was okay because nobody was going to get sick. Somehow this virus knows that if it's in church, it's going to make people sick, but if it's rioting out on the streets, nobody's going to get sick. I mean, this is a truly impressive virus to be able to know these things. But it goes beyond all. All these things are about fear, trying to instill fear into us because they've got something more. So we look again at what's going on. I know of at least 6 cases where people have gone to get tested for this thing. These are all here in the Twin Cities. And they've gone to be tested, and the wait was so long that they finally decided to leave. Some of them after an hour and a half, some of them actually after 3 hours of waiting, they decided to leave. But they had checked in already, and so they left. All 6 of them, from different places at different times, got a letter in the mail about a week or two later saying that your test results have come back and you have tested positive for COVID. So how many people really have this? Brings us to what happened just recently. The Department of Justice a couple of weeks ago announced that they were going to start looking into what I would call the homicidal decisions of a number of governors to put the sickest people, as they get out of the hospital, into nursing homes. And they put them into nursing homes on purpose, because God was not cooperating with these people in their plan. There weren't enough people dying. Remember what we were told originally? 2.2 million people were going to die in our country. 2.2 million. The CDC then, without saying anything, one day dropped it down to 1.5 million, and then 1 million, and then 900,000, and it just kept going down and down and down. And they were trying anything to get the numbers up. In fact, a doctor, if they falsify a death certificate, will lose their license. But the CDC wrote to the doctors and told them, we put COVID down as the reason for people's death. There was a doctor right here in Minnesota who happens to be a legislator. Jensen is his name. You can look it up. He's the one who said, I received the 7-page memo from the CDC, and here's what they told us to do. So there was actually a man, this wasn't here in Minnesota, there's a man who was shot in the head about 1.5 months ago. Guess what? He died of COVID. There was somebody else who got hit by a bus. He died of COVID. All these things. Everybody was dying of COVID. Did you know that in New York City, up until about February, there were lots of people dying from the flu, and after that, not one single person died from the flu, or cancer either, for that matter. So I think COVID is the cure for the flu. We have to look at what's going on. bunch of lies. So anyway, 2 weeks ago, if you would have looked on the CDC website, it said there were about, I think it was about 154,000 people in America who died of COVID. And then the Department of Justice said they were going to investigate these WHO decisions to put people into the nursing homes. And lo and behold, 2 days later, if the CDC didn't change their website, actually only 6% of the 154,000 died of COVID. Really. And that's COVID alone. So some of the people in the nursing homes, and they pointed this out, the average person who died with this had 2.6 other comorbidities, as they call them. So only 9,200 people have actually died of COVID by itself in America. 9,200. Now, as they go through all these draconian things that they have been doing, what is interesting is that when you look at it from that perspective, 9,200 doesn't even come close to breaking into the top 10 causes of death in America. But I think number 7 on the list, if I'm not mistaken, is suicide. Notice that they haven't let up on anything, even though the number of calls to the suicide hotlines have increased 600%. The number of divorces in April and May skyrocketed. The number of cases of child abuse has gone through the roof. That hasn't changed anything that these people have told us that we're supposed to be doing, because they have a bigger agenda. So we need to recognize eventually here that we have been lied to. 99.75% of everyone who has gotten this has completely recovered with no side effects. 99.75%. Think about that. So we think about all these people who are dying. And the vast majority of people who get this are recovering completely. In fact, they want us to think that this is such a deadly disease. Think about the fact that most of us, if we've had it, the only way we're going to know is if we went and got tested. It's so deadly that you don't know if you had it. Really? Come on. So what's next? Well, they've got a few things, which I'm not going to get into. But you can look all these things up, by the way. Look on the Rockefeller Foundation website. There's a document from 10 years ago, from 2010, that lays out exactly what it is that they have done. It's what they call the lockdown scenario. In this thing, they gave several possibilities, several possible scenarios. This one was called the lockdown scenario. Now there's a new one that they put out there, which has probably been taken down, and it went point by point by point exactly what they have done and what they are planning to do. It's all right there. So now, in the meantime, you may have noticed a couple of days ago that there are 3 vaccines that have been approved to go to the next level of testing. 2 of those vaccines, one for certain that I know of, is using cells from aborted babies. Second one, I'm pretty sure is, but I'm not certain of that. The third one, however, is particularly heinous. Well, the other two are okay. But the third one is particularly heinous. It is the one being put out by a company named Moderna. Moderna number one has never, ever once come out with a virus or with a vaccine that works. Number two, the vaccine that Moderna is working on, a group of group of ethicists back a couple of months ago absolutely condemned what they are doing and said this must stop immediately. It hasn't stopped. So I got in trouble a few months ago for naming names, so I won't do that. Look it up. Look who's going to make billions of dollars on this if Moderna's thing is actually approved. But regardless of that, why is it so heinous? Because Moderna's vaccine is designed to change the RNA in your body so that every cell in your body then has been changed to be able to fight the coronavirus. Not your immune system anymore. The very cells in your body will be changed. This is evil. This is pure evil. This is where the money is being put. And so again, I'm just pointing out some of the things, and there's a lot more that I could point out, some of the things that have happened so that you see that it has been one lie after the next, after the next, after the next, after the next. And now we've got a bigger one coming. My parents, who are in the age and health range that put them in the most vulnerable category, I told last week, do not, under any circumstances, allow them to put one of these vaccines in your body. The only way that they would allow it to happen to me is if they arrest me and hold me down and force it on me. There is no way. And so I am encouraging you to do the research, look at the stuff. Do we, first of all, really need a vaccine for something that 99.75% of the people are completely recovering from? Really? Is it that bad that 0.25% of the people who even get it are dying from it? Think about this. Last year, 1.5 million people in the world died of tuberculosis. Did you put on a mask and stay 6 feet away from those people because you might get tuberculosis? 650,000 people last year died of the flu. Did you put on a mask and stay 6 feet away from them because you might get the flu? You can go right down the line with everything else. Did you buy the lie that you might get something, but you don't know it, but somebody might get it from you, who might get it from you, who might get it from you, and grandma's going to die? You are a murderer. What a crock of rot. It's time that we start to recognize that we are being lied to. Yeah, there's a real virus out there, and yeah, it's causing some problems, and yeah, they've got round two prepared, and it's coming. That's not the point. The point is, this is all engineering. This is all an agenda, and it's pointing in a certain direction. So far, like the good sheeple that we are, we've all put on our masks and we've stayed 6 feet apart and we're doing all these things. Comes a point where we have to draw the line. And so while I am not the watchman for the world, I have a responsibility, at least to the people that sent me. And all I can do is encourage you, do the research, and decide where the line is going to be drawn. How far are we going to allow them to play this game? For me, vaccine is where the line will be drawn.
Well, thank you so much to Father Altier. He is a responsible shepherd. We really appreciate it because he is the only one speaking out from the Catholic religion that I have found. And there's a minister I'm looking for right now that Mary Toko sent me, who's also speaking out. I'm looking for that now. I'm not finding it. Yeah, that's unfortunate because he, likewise, he was a Protestant minister, and I certainly would like to share his incredible speech with you. Yeah, here he is, Reverend Danny Jones. Whoops, where'd it go? Where'd it go? Come back. Come back. I just saw it. Oh, dear. Give me a second, please. Oh, dear. Where is this? Where is this? I hope. Thank you for bearing with me. Here it is. Let's see if we can play it. Yes. Okay, here we go. Reverend Danny Jones.
...of iniquity in our time. For at least the last 100 years, billionaire bankers and businessmen have been trying to sell the world on a one-world government. After World War I, they tried to establish the League of Nations, and that failed. And then after World War II, they established the United Nations and have dumped billions of dollars into it trying to build their new world order. And we're almost there. So do I think that the coronavirus is a sign of the end of the world? I don't think so. But I do think this COVID-19 is a drill. It's a simulation. It's a dress rehearsal, if you will, to work out the bugs and get all the nations prepared for this final world government. For the last 3 months, we've watched our globalist leaders manipulate us with the Marxist revolutionary technique known as the Hegelian dialectic. It's a very complicated philosophical thing, but it can actually be salted down to about 3 points, and that is called problem, reaction, solution. The way you change cultures is using problem, reaction, solution. So these globalists, they cause a problem, be it terrorism or pandemic or global warming or whatever they want to come up with. And then they wait for our reaction. Our reaction as people tends to be the same. Oh, no, we're all going to die. Somebody do something. And then they have the solution, a prepackaged ready for us, using involves more government control of our lives. So let's look at the timetable a little bit. Sometimes it gets blurred with our 24-hour news cycles that go through. But let's look back at the timeline and see the changes that have occurred in the last couple of years that's brought about our current predicament, which for us began on March 15th when President Trump declared a state of emergency for coronavirus. 3 years ago, November the 8th, 2016, Donald Trump shocked the world by winning the presidency of the United States of America. He won this election by promising to make America great again, to put a stop to the globalist agenda, to close our borders, and to quit paying all the bills for United Nations and NATO. Also to stop this man-made global climate change hoax and to stop the one-sided trade deals. He said, I want international trade, but it needs to be fair trade, not with America always being on the other end of the hook there. So once he started all this, immediately the globalist billionaire banking and business class turned on him. The press attacked him. Democrat politicians and never-Trump Republicans began trying to impeach him. That went on for about 3 years. And then once that failed, the next move was coronavirus. Now, in the past, it was usually David Rockefeller who was pulling the strings on around the world on these globalist movements. But he died in March 2017. We never did think he would, but he died in March 2017 at 101 years old. And, of course, then there's George Soros. He always gets the blame. He's 90 years old. Right now, he's not having much to say, but he is heavily invested in pharmaceuticals. And so it appears that Bill Gates is taking the lead of this billionaires club move toward a one-world order. One of the other elder statesmen of this bunch is Henry Kissinger, who is now 97 years old. And ever since I was a little kid, Henry Kissinger has been on the radio and on the TV talking about his new world order. Anyhow, he wrote an op-ed piece on April the 3rd rejoicing about how this new world order would lead us to how this coronavirus would lead us to this new world order. So he is so proud of Bill Gates, he said there. So apparently Bill Gates is the anointed one. He is one of the richest globalists today. He's co-founder of Microsoft, who is now working to give away his nearly $100 billion fortune through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. His pet projects are population control and vaccinations. His father was a board member for the abortion provider Planned Parenthood, who helped young Bill understand as he grew up the need for global birth control to save the planet. Vaccinations, strangely, by Bill, are considered a subset of population control. Bill has this theory that if less babies died in infancy, then parents will want fewer children. And so he works all this population control and vaccinations through something called the Good Club. You can look it up on the internet. The Good Club is made up of other globalist billionaires like George Soros, Warren Buffett, Oprah Winfrey, the Rockefeller family, the Ted Turner Foundation, etc. 2 years ago, on January the 17th of 2017, at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. For those of you who's not aware of what goes on in Davos, they have this January meeting every year where 3,000 of the world's wealthiest people gather every year to figure out how to rule the world. Bill Gates, back in 2017, initiated a new working group called CEPI, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations. It's a collaboration of the Gates Foundation, the governments of Norway, India, Japan, and Germany, and two big pharmaceutical companies called Inovio and Moderna. They also included DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, also known as the Mad Scientist of the Department of Defense. It also included the Army, U.S. Army's Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, that's the Mad Scientist of the Army, that work out of Fort Detrick, Maryland. This CEPI began working on the next epidemic in 2017. Also at Davos, Gates began working on a Netflix video called Pandemic. Now, as y'all all know, I don't watch movies, but maybe I should have watched this one. It was released in November of last year. The plot of the movie was a coronavirus that originated in a wet market in China, leaving millions of people dead. Wow, what do you think? Is that a coincidence? Is Bill Gates a prophet, or is it a plan? Last fall, October the 18th, 2019, there was a pandemic exercise called Event 201 at Johns Hopkins University. The exercise was conducted by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the World Economic Forum, and Michael Bloomberg School of Public Health at Johns Hopkins University. And yes, that's the same Michael Bloomberg that just tried to run against against Donald Trump for president of the United States. The pandemic simulation predicted that the coronavirus would have the same kill rate as the Spanish flu of 1918, which caused around 65 million deaths worldwide in an 18-month period. It's also interesting to note that Dr. George Fugao, the director of the Chinese Centers for Disease Control, was involved in the simulation. At the same time, at the very same day, October the 18th and lasted through the 27th, the World Military Games were being held, of all places, in Wuhan, China. You had 10,000 athletes from 110 countries. The United States delegation was about 300 people. 2 months later, January the 7th, China reports the coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan. January the 21st through the 24th was the 2020 annual World Economic Forum gathering in Davos. So the rich guys were back in Davos again in January of this year. And Bill Gates and his CEPI that I just announced, they announced a coronavirus vaccine program with partnerships including Inovio and Moderna and the United States National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which is led by none other than Dr. Tony Fauci, who is now the chief medical advisor to President Trump, who you see on TV in these daily briefings that we're getting. He's an interesting character because he wrote in March in the prestigious New England Journal of Medicine that this coronavirus was going to be a nothing. It was going to be similar to the seasonal flu. But when he went in front of the television cameras, he told American people this coronavirus is 10 times worse than seasonal flu, may kill 2 million Americans if we do nothing. It still may kill 200,000 Americans even if we shut down the country and shelter in place. There's no known vaccine, he said, and it's going to take 12 to 18 months to get a vaccine even ready for trials. Of course, the question is, where did Dr. Fauci get all those numbers? Where did he get the model of the 2 million people and 200,000 people? Well, it turns out that came out of the University of Washington, the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, which is funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Before the thing was over in Switzerland, we had something going on at the United States Capitol. On January the 24th, the United States House of Representatives began drafting a coronavirus stimulus bill called the CARES Act. Yes, the money that you got this past week and deposited into your account actually started the legislative process on January the 24th, which as Americans, we didn't know there was such a thing as a coronavirus till March, but somebody knew. So somebody in Congress knew it well enough to know that we were going to need relief, and they started a bill back on January the 24th. By the way, January the 24th is also the same time that the Senate was getting an ultra-secret briefing about this, and our new Senator Kelly Loeffler all of a sudden started having some changes made to her investment strategy on Wall Street.
January the 30th. The United Nations World Health Organization officially launches a worldwide public health emergency for what they call a novel coronavirus. Even though at that time there was only 150 cases in the world, nevertheless, they knew it was going to be an emergency. By the way, novel means newly discovered, means never seen before. Means COVID-19 didn't just come crawling out of the woods. Kind of makes you wonder, where did it come from? January 31st, President Trump orders a travel ban on anyone traveling from China. 4 days later, January the 4th, the Centers for Disease Control decided not to use the World Health Organization's COVID-19 test kits. They didn't think they were good enough, that we had to come up with our own. So CDC made their own tests, and they were defective, had to pull them all off the market. CDC got out some new tests by the end of February. But then there were backlogs taking 1 to 2 weeks for people to find out whether they had it or not. By the way, you may not remember this about my resume, but before the Lord rearranged my life, I was planning on being a doctor. I was a pre-med major at the University of North Georgia, North Georgia College, majored in biology, minored in chemistry. So I went to the CDC website and looked at those test instructions to see what all was involved in doing a coronavirus test. And listen to this. This is a quote from the CDC website. A positive COVID-19 test does not rule out bacterial infections or co-infections with other viruses. Even COVID-19 may not even be the definite cause of the disease. Still, report all positive cases to CDC. Now, in layman terms, what that means is a patient may actually be sick with seasonal flu or pneumonia, PD. Molecule of COVID-19 DNA in their swab of their throat or their nostrils, then you're going to report that to CDC as a positive case. Well, one of the things that does for you is it definitely pumps up the numbers to make sure that everything that happens out there in the medical field is a COVID-19 case. Well, anyway, the next day, February the 5th, Donald Trump was acquitted on the charges of impeachment. So all this time, we've been watching news about this impeachment, and we knew nothing about this COVID-19 thing that was going on out there in the world. So March the 11th, the World Health Organization officially declared the COVID-19 a global pandemic. March the 14th, the Associated Press announced that volunteers in Seattle were given the COVID-19 vaccine. Wait a minute. That was made by Moderna. Where have we heard that name before? And it was approved by Dr. Fauci's National Institutes of Health. And wait a minute, that's less than 2 months. I thought Dr. Fauci earlier said it takes at least 12 or 18 months to get a vaccine ready for trials. So something's going on there. Anyhow, March 15th, President Trump declares a state of emergency in the United States for COVID-19. And that's when we begin the social distancing, sitting 6 feet apart, standing 6 feet apart, no meetings with over 10 people. On March 31st, Bill Gates wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post saying the United States missed the opportunity to get ahead of the coronavirus, so we need to shut down the U.S. economy for at least 10 weeks, which would take us to the end of June. And a week earlier, Bill Gates did a TED Talk interview where he said that once people of the world learn to trust science to solve a pandemic, maybe they'll be ready to trust science to solve climate change. It kind of makes you wonder, where are we going with this thing? And so now we've moved on in our television narrative. Now the narrative is whodunit. Where did this COVID-19 originate? Chinese leaders are saying that the United States military, who attended the World Games in Wuhan, released it as a bioweapon against China. American leaders are calling it the Wuhan virus and saying that the Chinese released it out of their virology lab in Wuhan in order to affect the world. The truth is probably up in there somewhere. But the trouble is, it's classified. And we will not know the truth for 40 years until it's declassified. And at that point, I will not care. Bottom line, this novel coronavirus, COVID-19, is a manufactured crisis designed to deceive people to accept a radically different world than you and I are used to living in. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't go out of here and misquote me. I'm not saying that people don't get sick with coronavirus. I'm not saying that they don't even die with it. The only thing I'm saying is, according to the Centers for Disease Control, who keep up with all these diseases, in an average year in the United States, there are 39 million cases of flu. 39, that's 10%. 39 million cases of flu. And between 30 and 60,000 people die. And I've been living on this planet for 63 years now, and we have never shut down the U.S. economy over that big of a threat and that many deaths. But here we are, for some reason, the powers that be have chosen to shut down America over COVID-19, which we've already said they're cooking the books on it. But right now, they've only got 70,000 cases against 39 million cases every year between flu and COVID. And also today, they've got it jacked up to 35,000 deaths, but still, that's considered a low flu year. So once again, why did we shut down the economy? I believe we are being deceived and manipulated. And the question is why are we being deceived and where are we going with this? Well, according to the prophet Daniel and the apostle Paul, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. We're watching people who have been deceived by Satan because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're changing Christian customs, culture, traditions, and laws all across our land to prepare the way for a future Antichrist. I don't know if he's right around the corner. I don't know when the Antichrist will appear, but nevertheless, the stage is being set. And we've seen a lot of changes just in the last month. As Rahm Emanuel, the former mayor of Chicago and former White House chief of staff under President Obama, used to say, you never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And brothers and sisters, they're not wasting this one. We have watched our leaders transform this COVID-19 coronavirus from being just another virus into a crisis, into an epidemic, into a public health emergency, into a global pandemic. Now, I want you to stop, because, again, we get caught up in the day-to-day 24-hour news cycle, but stop and think about all the changes that we have accepted in about a month's period of time. We'll start off with the first thing they had to do, and that was to verify the power of the press. Make sure that those five corporations that control 90% of what we see and hear in the media still have the ability to put everybody in a panic. Of course, we're talking about CNN, Time Warner, ABC, Disney, Fox News Corp, CBS, Viacom, NBC, Comcast. These networks bring on experts whose job it is to convince us that we need to give up our liberty or we're all going to die. They bring on globalist experts who explain that global problems require global solutions. I've heard that a half a dozen times, sometimes daily. They tell us the world is too complicated for any nation, even something as great as the United Nations. We can't fix this by ourselves. We need a one-world solution to our problems. They bring on experts who tell us that we need to quit being ignorant and listen to science, listen to the experts, listen to the technocrats. They alone know how to fix pandemics. They alone know how to fix climate change. Another one of the great changes that we've seen, and I've never seen in my time, is called social distancing. 6 feet between individuals, no gatherings larger than 10 people, order people off the streets and confined to their homes. This is a trial run at martial law, but it turns out they never needed martial law because most Americans submitted voluntarily. But governors have ordered up police, deputized government workers, and deployed National Guard just in case we, the people, get sick and tired of this and rebel. And to further add to the rumors of a police state, our governor in Georgia set up a telephone hotline so you can call and rat out your neighbors who are not complying with lockdown orders. That sounds more like Russia or China than it does the United States of America. The next big change is crashing the capitalist economy. Following these social distancing guidelines, we have watched 22 million Americans lose their jobs. We've seen the stock market drop 10,000 points. We've seen our retirement savings vanish and go down the drain. We've watched the government take charge of the means of production, which is a classic definition of socialism. We've got the government using executive orders, loans, and grants in order to pick which businesses will win and which businesses will lose. Another big change that's come out of this is they've made the church irrelevant, or should I say more irrelevant than what we already were. In times past, when America went into a crisis, they would call the people of God to pray. That's not what we're hearing now. We're hearing we need doctors, we need scientists, we need people to tell us how to do this. We don't need God, we don't need churches and prayer. Churches are listed among non-essential businesses. Pastors are not allowed to visit sick members in hospitals or nursing homes. The Christian tradition of handshaking with the right hand of fellowship is forbidden. Churches are not allowed to assemble, which is a violation of our First Amendment right, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion. Not to mention, it's also a violation of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, which says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Our sermons and our Sunday school classes are forced online, which means that all of our words are being saved and stored in the National Security Agency's new and huge data center in Utah, which, as long as we have a government that's okay with Christianity, is okay. But what if our new world government is more like China? Then our very own words will be used against us in a criminal trial. So NSA, if you're listening, there it is. And so now the government is offering free money to churches. Never mind the fact that using taxpayer money to prop up churches who are in debt is a violation of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. As our minister of music, Derek, often says, with the shekels comes the shackles. Whoever takes government money will ultimately take government regulations. And I don't think we want to do that at North Lake, at least not on my watch. Another change, cashless society. This is one of the globalist dreams and has been for years, to get rid of cash, use digital currency to be able to monitor and control the flow of money around the world. Korea, which was one of the first nations outside of China to be infected with this disease, they pulled in all their cash to sanitize it because the World Health Organization said cash was just crawling with coronavirus. It required all their people to buy their things with credit cards and their iPhones. In the United States, Speaker Pelosi's first corona relief house bill called for using digital dollars in order to give people their money that went out last week. Of course, you remember the Democrat house bill didn't pass, but the Republicans modified it, and they did pass a bill that didn't have digital dollars in it. But we're already seeing, pushing it through the IRS, there was all kinds of problems. You had money going to the wrong people, going to the wrong banks. Had some fireman, I think, here in Hall County got $7 million check last week. I mean, it was strange, I guess, just to prove that it's not going to work that way. So now we have a Senate subcommittee on banking that's working on the details of how to give any future money to Americans in digital money instead of cash. Speaking of government giving out money, one of the goals of this New World Order is universal basic income, where you get paid to do nothing. You don't have to work for money. The government decides what you need. I guess giving $1,200 to every adult and $500 to every child was a good test run. Interesting article in Bloomberg News on April the 5th. Spain is using the coronavirus crisis to roll out its universal basic income system. So apparently some of our nations know what's up with this. As Trump was signing in the $2 trillion relief bill, he said that the final cost of all these programs will probably be $6 trillion. Now, brothers and sisters, this may sound good for us to be getting all this free money, but the thing you got to remember is no such thing as a free lunch. It will come due at some point. I believe by the time we get to the November elections, our national debt will be over $30 trillion. And just the interest on that debt will take up 15% of our federal budget. Think about that. 15% of your tax dollars will be going to empower international bankers who are holding our debt. Now, I could go on, but look at the hour. So let me conclude with another little notice change. This one happened around Christmas, on December the 23rd, 2019. The prestigious Scientific American magazine reported that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, had developed a biometric tattoo where a nanochip can be injected into your forearm at the same time you're being vaccinated. Therefore, your arm can be scanned to reveal your identity, your vaccinations, maybe even your medical records. The biometric tattoo program was part of a bigger plan called ID 2020 that was also announced this January at the World Economic Forum in Davos, again sponsored by the Bill Gates Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, and several other billionaire organizations. These compassionate billionaires advertise this as being a special tool to help poor little children in undeveloped countries. We're in a crisis when there's a war, famine, or something like that. They have to run to some other country, and you don't know. They don't carry papers with them, so you don't know whether they've had their shots or not. So all they got to do is scan their little forearm and know whether they've had their shots or not. Sounds very compassionate. But then you read on down the article, they also mentioned that these tattoos would be great screening tools for people at airports, border crossings, schools, healthcare facilities, government buildings, and sports facilities. Brothers and sisters, 2 Thessalonians 2:7, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Now, I know for those of you that are still watching by television, I haven't turned it off yet. After one of my conspiracy theory prophecy sermons that I do from time to time, I'm often asked, well, Brother Danny, well, what can we do about it? I mean, you preach a sermon that scares all to death. Well, what can we do about it? Are there some politicians that we can call to stop this thing? And the answer to that is I don't think so, because I think this train left the station a long time ago. The real question is not what can we do. The real question is going to be, what will you do? If this coronavirus makes its second or third wave around the world, like the experts are predicting, and the Bill Gates vaccine is magically ready, and they offer you the vaccine, but in order to get the vaccine, you also have to receive the biometric tattoo, will you take it? If not, you probably won't be able to go to work or to school or the grocery store or to the bank. In the grand scheme of things, it'll probably not be a non-Christian thing if you accept that tattoo. A vaccine tattoo will probably be okay. But later on, if we carry out this philosophy to Revelation chapter 13, when it's not just about a vaccine, but when you're required to swear allegiance and be willing to worship the exalted leader of the United Nations, or whatever the name is called at that point, to prove your loyalty to the UN, then you must take this biometric tattoo. And if you don't take it, then you won't be able to buy or sell or travel or get health care. What then? You're probably saying, Danny, I think this is a little extreme. I don't think this can happen. Sure, it can happen. It's happened before in history, even in some non-techie times. In ancient Rome, under the Roman Caesar Domitian, who happened to be in charge when John wrote the book of Revelation, he forced people to offer a sacrifice once a year of incense. It was just a little pinch. It wasn't much incense, just a little bit. All you had to do is pitch it in the fire and say, Caesar is Lord. That's it. And you're a good Roman citizen, and life goes merrily along. But that was a problem for some folks called Christians. They refused to take the pinch of incense and pitch it in the fire. And they refused to say, Caesar is Lord. Instead, they said, Jesus is Lord. And they and their families were thrown to the lions or given some other horrible punishment. We'll talk about that more next time when we talk about Sardis, the persecuted church. Is this coronavirus a sign of the end of the world? I don't know. But I do know that we're 2,000 years closer to the end than when Paul wrote to us about it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. My prayer for me and my prayer for you is Ephesians 6:13. That is, Lord, help me. Lord, help my Northlake family to take up the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. To stand up for Jesus till he comes. As we close, let me ask you, are you saved? You know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior and Lord? Is he Lord of your life? Next question is, are you alert? Are you paying attention? One of the things that Jesus told us before he went to the cross was to watch. Because this thing, all these things are going to happen in an hour when you do not suspect it. Behold, I come as a thief. Are you putting on the whole armor of God? Are you in the Word daily? Are you praying for strength? Are you preparing yourself and your family for some difficult days ahead? Because as the Apostle Paul warned us, the mystery of iniquity is already at work.
Hi, everybody. This is Sally L. Cordy, and wasn't that an amazing speech by Reverend Danny Jones. It was on 4/19/2020 from North Lake Baptist Church. Okay, some time left, and I have another recording that I'd like to share with you from a responsible journalist. Now, this is from Sky News, and it looks like a mainstream news organization, which is why I'm sharing it with you. There are a lot of people who are on the alternative news who are speaking truth, and I certainly share all of that. But it's very rare to find someone on the mainstream media who is speaking the truth, and that's what I'm going to share with you now. His name is Alan Jones. Isn't that the name of the fellow who I just shared with you? Oh, my. Well, anyway, it's a different gentleman. He's from, pardon me, please. He's from Australia, and he's reporting after the U.S. said that only 6% of coronavirus deaths were from coronavirus, and I've been informed that 88% of that 6%, which would be less, which is more than 5% of that 6%, 88%, died from the ventilators. That would be less than 1% who actually died from coronavirus, okay? So people are saying nobody's died from coronavirus as a result. But nonetheless, they keep talking about cases and all of these tests, which I have now been informed may be the vaccine. The test may be the vaccine. Dr. Leonard Caldwell said the chip is in the test. They would not need to shove it up into your brain beyond your blood-brain barrier where nothing can escape if it were not the chip itself. So bear with me while I play for you now the mainstream media, Alan Jones from Australia.
Look, I know this is almost boring, but the focus is not just on Daniel Andrews. Let me make a comment here that I made months ago. Why are we allowing or expecting governments to manage our health? I don't want Gladys Berejiklian or Scott Morrison or Anastasia Palaszczuk telling me how to stay alive. And this is the central issue here. These people are pretending to manage our health. What knowledge are they using that is superior to ours? Where's the evidence? Yesterday I raised a document from the government's own Department of Health, Epidemiology Report 22, the period ending August 2, which says, and I quote, comorbidities were common in those COVID-19 cases admitted to Australian hospitals, with 78% recording at least one of the specified comorbidities. Only 9% recorded no comorbidity. And it further said, the symptoms reported by COVID-19 cases in Australia are consistent with a mild respiratory infection in the majority of cases. There it is. 9% recorded no comorbidity. Even if we're up to 10%. That means that if there are 770 deaths, only 77 have died from coronavirus alone, 77. And I repeat, we've got only 29 cases across Australia, serious or critical. And what have we got? An economy smashed. I met with New South Wales businessmen today. Why can't all businesses open up? Where's the scientific evidence to suggest they can't? Where on the figures is anyone at risk? Why can't we say to the public, you look after your own health? The old, the vulnerable, the elderly, the Indigenous, the people with comorbidities. Yes, we've got a hospital system to look after you. The rest, get on with your lives. Why do we have children locked up, unable to go to school? Why are 5.5 million Melburnians living like battery hens? 6.5 million Victorians paying for the stupidity and arrogance of Daniel Andrews. He should have resigned long ago if he had any decency. But this is the mess you get into if you allow politicians to control your lives. I don't. This has been badly managed and avoidable. Victoria has 89% of all the coronavirus deaths in Australia. 89%. 655 of the 675 were a direct result of what Terry McCrann calls today the criminal negligence of the quarantine debacle. So what do we have? Economic, financial, emotional, and mental destruction. Andrews and a useless, silent and spineless cabinet have no ability to manage Victoria or Australia out of this mess. Where is the scientific proof that what Andrews is proposing is correct. A senior World Health Organization advisor is warning today that Victoria's targets for easing lockdown are, quote, very challenging. This is a bloke, Professor Fisher, who ran Singapore's successful COVID-19 program, and he said it's not clear whether there needs to be fewer than 5 daily infections before a curfew and stay-at-home restrictions in Melbourne could be lifted. World authorities have said, people like Professor Woolhouse from the University of Edinburgh, quote, lockdown was a panic measure. And I believe history will say that trying to control COVID-19 through lockdown was a monumental mistake on a global scale. Professor Michael Levitt is a biophysicist and professor of structural biology at Stanford University. All of these people know, eh? Claiming re-lockdowns, the level of stupidity going on is amazing. And further, lockdowns are a huge mistake. The World Health Organization, in an advisory last October, talked about pandemic responses, which were, quote, not recommended in any circumstance. Amongst them, border closures. What game are these governments playing? The Lancet magazine, quote, in our analysis, full lockdowns and widespread COVID testing were not associated with reductions in the number of critical cases or overall mortality. I mean, who else can we appeal to apart from the dumbbell politicians who are running this country? If it were a court of law, you'd simply say, produce the evidence. They don't have it. The Prime Minister himself is now saying lockdowns and borders are not signs of success in dealing with COVID-19. Prime Minister, you should have been saying that a long time ago and insisting it happened. When will we stop this nonsense and open up the country? Say it's parading New South Wales as the response model. Walk through the city of Sydney and see the devastation. I live in Macquarie Street, Sydney. You can't catch a taxi there because there's no business. There's no reason for the taxis to come. When will the Opera House ever open again? And now the alarmism and fear are such that research from the Australian Red Cross has found that 82% of Australians are worried about catching COVID-19. 18 to 34-year-olds are convinced they'll catch the virus. Yet only 14 deaths in nearly 8 months have been of people aged below 60. No deaths of people below the age of 30. The Prime Minister and Premiers need to disentangle themselves from this health bureaucracy. They've been wrong, wrong, and wrong. And it's no use saying in New South Wales there's no curfew and shops are open and the economy's rebuilding. You talk to businesses. As I said, walk through the city of Sydney. The best you could say is that it's not as bad as Melbourne. Open the economy. Stop promoting fear. And if there are no constitutional options to take control of this mess now, before more people commit suicide, before more businesses go under, before more people join the millions who don't have a job, then call the parliament together and pass appropriate legislation to open the country up. We are paying the price for bureaucratic and ministerial fear that was generated from the outset. Stop talking about the number of cases. Tell us how many of the people who tested positive are critical. And on those figures, across Australia today, 29. And here is Andrew saying for 5 million Melburnians, they'll remain, they'll stay at home, no education for the children, no business, locked at an 8 o'clock curfew at night until there are fewer than 5 cases detected a day on average for a fortnight. Well, there were 41 cases yesterday. Victorians are saying, when on earth will we get to 5? The current 14-day average is 101. And you'll say, living like battery hens, until that average of 101 gets to 5. And that silly woman in Queensland, well, two of them, Jeanette Young and Anastasia Palaszczuk, and the opposition leader, agrees with them. The borders there will stay closed until they have 28 days without a case. Not without a serious case, without a case. 99% of the cases are mild. There were 2 cases in Queensland yesterday. 28 days without a case. The curfew in Melbourne won't be lifted until there are fewer than 5 cases a day for a fortnight. I repeat, the current 14-day daily average is 101. This is a ruthless, heartless abuse of power exercised by ignorant, know-all politicians. How do you handcuff a pregnant mother but allow 10,000 people to gather for Black Lives Matter? 27 national cabinets. And here we are, still in this mess. We have to accept the statistics. 99% of the cases are mild. Take out national advertising to promote the truth and stop this alarmism and panic. It is time to end this medical mass hysteria. I'm tired of being sucked in by second-rate politicians. As Jack Mortis, a management consultant who arrived in Australia from Poland with his family in 1981 at the age of 9, writes in the Australian Today, quote, Andrew's rhetoric is worryingly reminiscent of the former Eastern Bloc socialist leaders. Never did I think our basic freedoms would be removed in Australia. Never did I think a pregnant woman would be handcuffed for merely saying she would protest against the government. This is not the Australia with which my family sought refuge. My mother cannot believe that at 78, she again finds herself under effective house arrest in a democratic Australia. He writes, and what of Poland now? It's one of the fastest growing economies in Europe. Even in a COVID-19 world, domestic and international travel is allowed. Masks are not compulsory in public spaces, and indoor and outdoor gatherings are permitted. Compared with Victoria, Poland has experienced lower cases and deaths per population, and all without sacrificing civil liberties. He writes, perhaps it's only when you have to fight for your civil liberties that you learn you never want to give them up again. Well, I am saying it's time we fought too.
Amen, Alan Jones of Sky News. Now we're going to conclude this program, even though I have other things I could share with you. I'm going to Daz Nez, who wrote the bumper music for Vaccine Free America, my radio show on RBN, which is wonderful. It's a word to the wise, always reject vaccines. That's a wonderful song. But he wrote something that brought my attention to him about 6 years ago, and he has just updated it for the coronavirus. Unfortunately, that recording isn't as good as the original. So you can substitute the coronavirus for some of the words he's using. But basically, you can stick your vaccine poisons, and I'll let him tell you the rest.
You can stick your new world order up your ass. You can stick your new world order up your ass. You can stick your new world order when it's long, long, sad, and older. Stick your new world order up your ass. Maybe we are the 1997 band. Singing we are the 1997 band. Singing we are the 90s. Together we are 90s. We are the 99%. We don't be arrested in a dressing gown. We don't be arrested in a dressing gown. We don't be arrested in a... She is such a sinner. She be arrested in a dressing gown. Singing we are the 99%. Singing we are the 99%.
God bless Daz Nez and his incredible program, his incredible song. If you're interested to see any of these videos live while they last, the whole reason I record things is, you know, just in case, then just in case they disappear, which, you know, this particular video has disappeared several times already. I had to share an old version with you. So anyway, that's it. Thank you for listening to Public Advocate Radio. And my name is Sally Olcordy. And look at the archive. It's a very interesting, a very important interview of recent with a patient advocate, attorney, and a whistleblowing nurse from the one of the hospitals in Manhattan. That's a very, very important interview. I would listen to that. Okay, all the very best to everybody. The link that you can reach me at is the link that you should refer to for all of these videos is tinyurl.com/beatingadults. Thank you.